An American dream taught me that as long as you speak from the heart, you cannot go wrong because it is the truth, and this is the truth. I'm home. I've come back to this familiar place, and I didn't know how I was going to react, and I didn't know how it was going to go, but it has made me feel like my old self, because this is where I belong. This is home, and I've been gone for 10 years, and over 10 years, you people never forgot me, even when maybe I wanted to forget me.
FOW Live on the Radio Network. I know you're Eric. You can get media from Chicago, but we got CM Punk in Chicago. We'll get to the rest of Survivor Series, but I think we cannot wait a whole hour or so unless we go ahead and talk about the obvious. After almost a 10-year wait, you know, he came home. The prodigal son came back home. And let's be honest. You know, compared to his return speech from, what, two, three years ago, which also feels like a lifetime, Brother Punk had to eat some of his words there.
Yeah, I mean, he when he left, and I get it, you know, he was frustrated with a lot of things and felt he needed to get a lot off his chest. I get that. You know, but he speaks a lot of absolutes and truths, and then he goes back on said truths, you know? I'm never going to do this, or this is not how it, you know, he talks a lot about black and white, you know, very much, you know, this is the way it is or it's not, and then going and saying, okay, well, maybe I was wrong. I think, you know, I mean, that shows growth and maturity, but, you know, I mean, it's cool to have him back, but, I mean, realistically, we know he's not going to be... It's not like he's going to wrestle for another 10 years, you know? So I'm excited to see what he does with the time he has, you know, with WWE. I mean, he's such a great, you know, great spokesman. I mean, he easily could maneuver into a commentary role, you know, when he feels his in-ring career is done. You know, I think he could be very... He'd be very good at that. He used to do commentary for Ring of Honor shows. He would, you know, he's jumped in and done commentary, you know, in WWE in the past as well. But I'm interested to see what he does. I mean, it seems that, you know, Seth Rollins is going to be his first feud, or at least the first one they're kind of teasing. But yeah, I mean, I'm excited to see where it goes. You know, I mean, his AEW run, you know, it was cool to have him back. But apart from him, his big comeback, and then he had his dog collar match with MJF, like, what else did he do that was really big and memorable there, you know?
Brawl out.
I mean, he had his return, and it was huge, and everybody loved it, and he sold a fuck ton of t-shirts. But then, like, yeah, I mean, realistically, it feels like he didn't do a whole lot outside of that. Like, at least not that I can remember off the top of my head. Like, yeah, you know, whatever, he did this, but, like, yeah, the MJF feud is pretty much the only memorable thing that I can think of from his run there, 3 whole years. I mean, granted, quite a bit of that time he spent injured. He wasn't wrestling.
Yeah. His Moxley feud was kind of ruined by injuries and whatnot, I think.
Yeah, we're better off without that.
Moxley would have just led. Eric, you've had time to just simmer on his return. I mean, you can finally watch the Ben wrestle again. Now that he's in AEW. Not to say you don't watch AEW, but you know.
I don't watch AEW. You can say that.
So, I mean, he you know, you're a big CM Punk fan?
I am.
Is he back home? I would have said originally, like, ROH is his home. But unfortunately, you know, my opinion, TK is doing a good job of trashing that home. But alas, it's not about that. He's home. Not the words you thought he would say. Not after the way he left. Not after the podcast with Colt Cabana, and now not after getting fired, getting his firing papers on his wedding day, not after that promo that he cut on his return when he debuted for AEW. You know, he's as Triple H has says, you know, he's a changed man, right? WWE changed, Triple H changed. Maybe CM Punk changed, and Triple H is no longer a doofus idiot son-in-law in his head, you know. Yeah, I mean, how about keeping these a secret? I mean, it was such a good secret. Every dirt sheet out there, every website, everybody. The reports on wrestling news and spoilers made sure within the last 5 days going into the Rumble, I mean the Survivor Series, CM Punk is now returning at Survivor Series in Chicago.
That's how you knew it was actually happening.
All the dirt sheets said no, and the fans all said yes, and then it happened.
Yeah. No, like, legitimately, anything that the dirt sheets say, I usually just... Oh, okay. He's not coming. All right, I'll see him there. Like, I don't trust anything the dirt sheet says, and I usually go the opposite. So, had the dirt sheets been saying, you know, yeah, CM Punk confirmed for Survivor Series, I would have been like, yep, guess he ain't coming. But he's home. He's home, and like he said in his promo, you know, a wise man told him that. To get everything that he needed to get from this company, he had to leave. And he did. And now he's back. And he's not here to make friends. He's here to make money.
I mean, he learned something from Kevin Nash in their very short feud.
Apparently.
I'm going to say that he didn't come to make friends the first time either. He was there to make, definitely there to make money. But maybe now he's a little more...
Maybe now he's
more savvy with it. Yeah.
Maybe, yeah. But no, I am. It was clearly a Triple H produced ending because we got the bumper, we got the Michael Cole. Well, it was a great night here in Chicago, you know. Thanks for watching. And then static and
what?
Living color. Yeah.
What?
So, I can't wait. It's been 10 years too long. It's been a long time coming. You never say never in the WWE. You know, people said he would never come back. He did. People said that Warrior would never come back. He did. People said Brett would never come back. He did. So
Bruno said he would never come back.
He did. Had he not passed untimely, I'm sure Macho would have come back at some point. Like,
mm-hmm. There's some time for Conan to come back.
No.
The only big one that I would probably say never with is Superstar Billy Graham.
Yeah.
He's been like, take me out of the Hall of Fame because you put people in there that I don't respect. Like that. Like he's denouncing his Hall of Fame induction and stuff so many years later. Like that's some deep shit.
It's like, chill out, old man.
Yeah.
Okay, boomer.
Yeah. I'm sure if he's getting any checks still, he's not turning those down.
Right.
I mean, yeah, probably not. No.
But it's been a long time coming. I can't wait to see where it goes. What we get, where it goes from here. The feuds. I don't. Everybody's speculating. I don't think we're going to get Seth Rollins and CM Punk off the flip.
Okay.
I think that's Mania. That is a money match. That is not good. That they're not going to throw that away.
Yeah.
It's it's a bigger build. You can be like, you know. They can, one of them could be like, hey, I want this match. The other one be like, I'm sure you do. And then the other one can be like, okay, well, I want this match. The other one could be like, I bet you do. You know, like they can play that kind of game where they're teasing and not wanting to give each other that match because they know it's something the other wants kind of thing. Like it's a bigger story and a half here. And unfortunately, AEW doesn't understand the longer storytelling for the most part. If the fans want a match, they'll give it to you right away. You know, like they would have put him and Seth Rollins on Monday. They would have announced it, and they'd be fighting next week.
Yep.
I mean,
you know, or at the next pay per view at the very latest. You know,
it's PWG with a unlimited budget.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah. For now.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I love CM Punk. You know, I was excited when he returned, even, you know, and I was excited about the what he could do in AEW, the kind of matches he could have with the type of talent. But, you know, unfortunately to me, he looked unmotivated. He looked out of shape.
I won't say out of shape. I agree with you with unmotivated, but I don't.
Think, I mean, there were quite a few times that he seemed to gas pretty early, bro.
He definitely lost a step, and I'm not expecting him, obviously, at his age, to give me 5-star matches. But I mean, and maybe the unmotivation is what came out, made him look like he just didn't care, and that it rolled into his performance. I don't know. He just didn't always look like CM Punk that I'm used to seeing. Now, you know, did he have good promos? Of course, him on the microphone, in a given microphone, it's money. But, you know, the wrestling is what we see. I mean, he pushed himself to an extent, but all the backstage drama. See, I think the one thing that he didn't like, and I can't speak from, I don't know, but it's like all the cooks in the kitchen, all these people who are supposed to have these titles and these, they all have thoughts and opinions and they think they all matter. And of course, CM Punk is the anti-authority. You know, he played that for such a long time. And I hear he is dealing with people who possibly could have egos bigger than his. And, you know, because it's not one person, it's not one enemy, it's not one visiting man in charge that he can rally with against. Now he's rallying against his own locker room and fighting them. I mean, he literally fought the people in the locker room. I heard those fights were probably more exciting than his matches were. But if we get the same CM Punk here, it'll be a disappointing return. Now, again, maybe he has something to prove to himself, right? Because he didn't like how he left wrestling 10 years ago. And I'm sure he didn't like how he left wrestling earlier this year. You know, he's looking for that happy ending. Here's his second chance. You know, I don't think that the locker room CM Punk that we heard about in AEW is going to be the same one in WWE because it's a different locker room, right? I mean, and I think with AEW, there's still, you know, it's like you know, it's like, you know how the saying with, you know, the locker room leaders, you know, you had Undertaker, then it was Roman Reigns, right?
in AEW, everybody's in that back, in that yard trying to, you know, fight for their spot. And he's not going to see that here. So I think, you know, in the back, he'll be different. He'll be better. And let's just see what he does when he's performing out there. If he's still the same unmotivated punk that he was the last 2-3 years, it'll be a shame. But
I think you're kind of downplaying it a little bit because he wasn't constantly unmotivated in AEW. There were times he was very motivated, and you could see it in the ring, with especially the stuff with MJF. He was on his shit in that dog collar match. Like there was nothing wrong with that dog collar match. Now, the stuff against, like, Hangman Page and, like, the random bullshit, yeah, he didn't care. You could tell he didn't care. When he was teaming with FTR, he semi-sort of cared, and it was mostly for FTR. But there were times he was motivated, and it showed in the ring. Now, was he motivated the entire time? No. 100% not. Because I think about halfway through that first year, he realized this isn't where he wanted to be. And that kind of probably stemmed a little bit with the locker room altercations and stuff. That it, because I mean, like, unprovoked, he said he's old, he's tired, he's hurt, and he works with fucking children. So the things were going on backstage that would have unmotivated. It's just like work. When shit's, you know, trash, you're unmotivated, so you don't put in your best. But when you are getting, like, paid well and things are going good and everything's flowing right, you do your best. And I know it's two entirely different things. I'm sure Punk was getting paid very well, but like the backstage bullshit probably pissed him off, and this is what it led to. And I don't know if either of you guys saw the news, but have you seen who the final front runners for Monday Night Raw is?
What do you mean? Final front runner?
Oh, the network.
Yeah. Warner Brothers wants Raw for either TBS or TNT.
Did I not say that? Did I not kind of brought them up?
That was ago? You said it was a possible. Like you said, you thought
about, I brought them up as a possibility.
Yeah. But it's official now that they are interested in WWE. That like. Because of Punk. Because Punk has supporters at Warner Brothers. So
I mean, they create a whole other 2 hours of TV just for him.
Indirectly, this might fuck All Elite. Because if they lose their TV deal, what are they? They're just PWG.
They're no longer Elite. They have the Honor Club. They can put all their content there.
Good for them. They can stream on the internet. That's about where their program deserves to be anyway.
They can revive Dark Elevation and Dark Elite. All the darks.
My boy so Will dark. Bill Phil.
I mean, if the TV deal for AEW goes away and then, you know, WWE somehow takes the Warner Brothers / Turner or whatever. I mean, I'm sure that there's other television companies that would be there. I don't think that AEW would be completely shit out of luck. They just wouldn't have as you know, cush a TV spot. But I guarantee you there's other networks out there that would be interested.
Absolutely. There's Pop TV, Destination America.
They can go to Axis.
No, they don't have wrestling there.
No, they can TNA can get a better contract now. Yeah. They're back to the number two.
I mean, can you imagine WarnerMedia making a play for Raw and then trying to get, you know, getting the network on Max, which is like the number one thing TK has been wanting.
Mm-hmm. That'd be amazing.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm not surprised. I mean, there's still, you know, still plenty of time, I believe, for them to find a suitor. They're gonna do what they do best, right? To kill holdings between Endeavor and WWE and Nikon. They're gonna find the best deal for WWE. Whoever's gonna give the most money, who's gonna get the best time slot, and the best chance for success. And by all means, you know, it's been, you know, we see how SmackDown went up, you know, at 40%. So Raw's expected to go up and get more money. And yeah, wherever that money is, you know, I think Nick Khan, TKO Holdings, and, you know, everybody there's that they're not afraid to, you know, to move, to make changes, you know, to adapt with the time. If we need to change nights, so be it. You know, I mean, look how crazy people said Vince McMahon was about, you know, doing away with pay-per-views and, you know, putting everything on the network for a monthly subscription. I mean, that investment paid off in billions.
I mean, so. But the XFL and the World Bodybuilding Federation did not pay off. So
that's why he's sticking to what he knows.
There you go. Sports
entertainment. And he may not know how to run a football league or bodybuilding league, but he knows how to sell the one brand that he has, you know, and grow. So he should stick to what he knows. You know, right now he's, you know, he's in the place where he wants to be. He doesn't have to stress, and he's making lots of money. So that man doesn't need to work a day in his life, and he's all set. But enough about that. Let's talk about the Rumble itself. The Rumble. Why am I still talking?
You've said the Rumble 100 times. Come on. You excited for the Royal Rumble? You can't think of anything else?
Listen, I love the Royal Rumble. It's one of my favorite pay-per-views.
We're on the road to the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, it gets things kicking, you know, and we'll get to that in a little bit. WWE Survivor Series, War Games, five matches. Let's keep it simple. Let's start with the women's War Games match. Bianca Belair, Charlotte Flair, Shotzi, and Becky Lynch teamed up against Damage Control. This match went over 30 minutes. It was really fun. It was really entertaining. You know, I mean, they played the dysfunction between Charlotte and Becky, and Damage Control seem to be in control for the most part of it. You know, they did some crazy stuff, and at the end, Bayley got pinned. I mean, she's not there, but she submitted, right? No, she got pinned or submitted?
She got pinned.
Okay, I couldn't remember. I feel,
the manhandle slam through a table.
Right. Oh yeah, from the top rope.
Yep.
Yeah. Again, Bayley lost, you know, on Friday night. She's the one that got pinned, and that's why they lost the advantage at Survivor Series. Here she goes again, losing in War Games. All roads lead to Bayley saying getting kicked out of Damage Control, but. Until then, what did you guys think of the match?
I thought it was really good. It told a really good story. Especially with the Bayley stuff, because Bayley, if you pay attention, was taking all the hits and sacrificing herself for everybody in Damage Control. Like, at the very end, she threw Kyrie out of the way to take the spear from Charlotte, and then they just kind of sat there and let her get her ass beat for 5 minutes and then pinned. So I thought that was a really good, like, story. EO doing EO crazy shit off the top of the cage, yeeting herself off with a trash can over her whole body, which
I like that they had this whole rope apparatus set up with her and Dakota to get the trash can up there.
Like a fucking dumbwaiter.
Yeah, so cool. As soon as she had the trash can on and she did like the cross body dive, I was like, huh. I was like, I thought she would do the moonsault like she did in NXT. And then Charlotte does her moonsault, and I was like, oh, that's why Io didn't get to do her moonsault, because Charlotte had to do her fucking moonsault and nearly crack Io's skull in the process, mind you.
But yeah, good match. I'm not feeling Shotzi, y'all. I love her, but I'm not feeling this iteration of Shotzi.
It kind of feels like it's trying too hard, you know?
Yeah, like she's trying too hard to be a psycho. Like,
yeah,
tone it back, guys. Shotzi's good.
It's comically bad. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, she felt out of place in that match. Everybody else felt like they were where they needed to be. But yeah. Because...
Well, like, she was... Yeah, and she was kind of the odd one out of the team anyways, you know?
Yeah.
All the other members of the team had kind of history together and all this, and she's, like, supposed to be the wild card crazy one. And I mean, and even Triple H was putting her over in the post-press conference, which shows you, like, that was what they were intending to do, was try and kind of... elevate her, you know, through this match and kind of putting her with, you know, teaming her with who she was teaming with. But yeah, her ring work's still good, and you know, but the character seems just kind of over the top. Like, it's more like, it feels like a caricature rather than a character.
Exactly. And I mean, like I said, I love Shotzi. This just isn't clicking because it doesn't feel genuine.
Yeah.
And I'm afraid that, you know, not just Shotzi, she's great, but I think this is now and this is where I think a lot of criticism comes to WWE. They're taking the Shotzi character and then turning it into the WWE version, which now is what comes up as not so original and more caricaturish. And I mean, it's giving her, you know, time in the ring and time behind the camera, but unfortunately it's not something that the fans are gonna love.
Yeah.
And that sucks for her, because maybe in the long term she'll be somebody who can't get over, but it's no fault of her own. It's just like, gosh, you guys like literally killed my character.
Yeah.
So hopefully they can get it together and figure out, hey, this isn't working. Let's see what can work. But I'm happy that she got the shot, though. And she was putting
it in front of everybody else. I mean, she got to go in there and do some wild shit and have some fun and get a big pay-per-view payday. And yet again, hopefully this is, you know, the start of higher profile things for her. You know, I mean, part of it was injuries, part of it was injury to her tag partner, and then for whatever reason they decided, oh, we don't want her to come out in the tank anymore. We want her to be healed. And I'm like, what? That was very confusing to me, because she's such a likable person. She has a weird kind of goofy, kind of cool, kind of sexy, kind of fun, kind of, you know, that kind of thing that makes people kind of want to pay attention to her. And like, you want to hang out with her, basically, you know? But why would they try to force her into going heel and try to make her stop doing the things that people liked about her? I was like, it seemed like a wrong move at the time.
Well, to be fair on that, that was when Vince was trying to just fuck everything and like trying all this new bullshit. And then when Triple H got back in charge, Shotzi's back as the baby face, tank, all that fun stuff. So
yeah, like,
because it started getting weird at the very end there with Vince, like random character changes and like all kinds. I don't know. It just got weird. But thankfully Triple H fixed it. Let's just kind of hope it fixes itself again, because I just. the character's just not clicking with me. And it could just be me. I don't know. But it was a great match. We know what's coming. The inevitable damage control beatdown of Bayley. And like I pitched it to Danger the other night, so I'll pitch it on the podcast. WrestleMania is going to be damage control with Julia versus the four horsewomen, because Sasha's coming back.
All right, so say she comes back. When does she come back?
Rumble.
So you think not well, either a Rumble, obviously, because if she's a Rumble, they're going to expect her to win it. So you're saying, is it possible Bayley 1-on-1 against Io for the title, damage control helps her, attacks Bayley, helps Io win, Sasha comes for the save?
I didn't understand any of that.
Yeah, you're kind of breaking up a little bit, Dan.
Oh, can you hear me better now?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry, let me repeat again. So in what scenario do you see her coming back? Because if she's in the Rumble itself, people are going to expect her to win it.
I just think it's going to kind of be along in the same lines of, you know, damage control is kind of running the shit. And Bayley is trying to stand up to him. And Becky's trying to stand up to him. And Charlotte is trying to step up to him. And then it's going to kind of be like the Survivor Series. Like, hey, can you make that call? And they'll probably all look at Bayley to make that call. And she'll be like, sure. Hmm. And then we call. And then here comes Sasha.
Yeah.
So maybe she doesn't debut until or re-debut until Mania. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Well, I mean, she has.
So here, Julia though.
Rumor one.
You also mentioned Julia being part of Damage Control now. Why would Dakota not be healthy enough to wrestle in that spot?
She might be, and it might be Dakota, but. I don't know, because they kept saying that there's going to be somebody that you don't expect, and unless that was Asuka, you know, did I expect Asuka? No, but I still think that they meant something else other than Asuka. But it could be Dakota. It could be, which would be fine. Dakota's great in the ring. I have no issues with Dakota.
I just didn't know the severity of her injury and if she would be potentially medically cleared by then.
If I'm not mistaken, it was just a torn ACL. Because I think she's doing fine. Like,
so she's so it's something she's essentially rehabbing it right now. I mean, she's obviously walking and stuff, so that's a good sign. But I would say give it a few more months. She could be ready, especially if it's an 8-person tag. You're not, you know. Only are required to do kind of a limited amount in a match like that.
And it could be Dakota, and I still think it would be a good match because they've streamlined her as the mouthpiece of Damage Control right now.
Yeah. She somehow speaks fluent Japanese, which we didn't know.
Well, she
was. The other girls are all speaking to each other in Japanese, and she just kind of translates.
Well, she, like I said, she worked in Japan for a long time. So
really, I didn't know how long she was there. I thought she was kind of back and forth.
Yeah, I thought she was just in and out.
No, she worked Japan for a while. It would make sense to me that she's fluent. Words are hard.
Telling me,
but yeah, no, I think that I don't think that people are gonna be happy with Mercedes not showing up in AEW, but Sasha coming back to WWE. Mm-hmm. And I think that was an inevitability anyway, once Triple H took control.
Yeah. Because it's a different person that she has to answer to, right? It's a different person that will treat with her. And we know how
Triple H loves Sasha. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
he's one of his kids.
Exactly. That's why I was like, it was an inevitability. I'm shocked it took this long, but I guess Sasha had to go play Japan because she's always wanted to. And,
well, she's also injured. And
now she's injured. So
and she's got one match she still wants to do.
Yeah.
And if they really signs Julia and they takes that away from her, then who knows what, you know.
She can still have that match in WWE.
Absolutely. She listen.
It'll just get rumor, 7 minutes on television instead of 40 minutes in Japan. Okay.
The rumor is that Sasha's next match, you know, will be against Julia. They just didn't say where.
Yeah, they just said the next match was against Julia. It's just going to be at WWE.
So the thing with Dakota Kai, she tore her ACL in May. That you know, that can take up to 12 months. I think like 8 to 12 months. 8 months to get John Cena.
Or February is probably a good push to where she would be back.
Yeah. So seeing that we're in November, she's still not allowed to get in the ring or have any contact with other people like that. You know, I'm sure she's rehabbing, but so I guess we'll see how it looks and how she's walking. Cause she's still on crutches, isn't she, or not?
Yep. Yeah, she's still on. No. She's not using crutches.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think she's actually walking. I mean, she might have one of those, a walking boot or a big knee brace or something, and they're just kind of keeping the camera just slightly above that.
Yeah, you can clearly see the brace on her. Yeah,
it's possible that she could return by then. It's not impossible. At the end of the day, it won't kill them. Just be careful and just have her on the sidelines if they get somebody else. So yeah, it won't make it or break it. So, but yeah, very exciting as far as the women are concerned, and what's to come with just Damage Control. I mean, I think Damage Control, my goodness, since they debuted it at SummerSlam last year, just been building up and. A slow burn into like now people. I mean, I'm not saying that everybody was paying attention before, but people are paying attention now. And I love how it's all working out and how everybody's embracing it. All right, next up we get Gunther defeating The Miz by submission. This is the one that was won by submission. 12 minutes. Gunther hit The Miz with everything he had in those 12 minutes. Miz tried his best to barely dethrone Gunther, but I'm sorry, it was not going to be The Miz. His time was not going to be now. I mean, Gunther is just an unstoppable force that, you know, man, he's made the Intercontinental Championship mean something different. And I love it when they put a title on a heel and the heel just goes through everybody, just like
Roman Reigns is too.
Yeah, but I'm talking for the secondary titles. Those are the ones that tend to
like the Hulk Hogan man, brother.
Yeah, I would like to see some Roman Reigns, right? And the, you know, I mean, come on, Gunther. You know, he's been on fire ever since he joined the WWE. You know, had a great run NXT UK, came to NXT, tore up there. You know, and they moved him up and say, "Hey, you got to trim down." You know, he did what he did, and look at him now. I mean, as he said, I think he has said once before, you know, he's made more money as Gunther than he ever did as Walter. So, because they asked him about the name change, you know, everybody loves to talk about name changes, and he's like, "So yeah, I'm happy being Gunther. They can call me whatever, but you know, he's getting paid. Another guy's just here for the money."
So does some new hotshot come in and beat Gunther in like 35 seconds and end his reign, and then he just kind of disappears like the Honky Tonk Man did when the Warrior came out and charged him and clothesline, body slam, big splash, and it was done?
No. I think Gunther's probably about to get elevated. I think it's about time for a world title push for Gunther. But I don't know now where that comes, because Seth's about to be a little busy. And Cody's going after Roman, so that. But, I mean, it's not like his run's stale right now. So
yeah, no, absolutely not. He's unveiling more wrinkles in his arsenal. You know, his power bomb was kind of the end all be all, and Miz was able to kick out of that. So he had to go to, you know, his submission game. You know, Boston Crab, and then he turned it more into the Lion Tamer, the knee in the back.
Yeah.
You know, so showing some more that he has more depth to his arsenal.
Yeah.
More ways to beat people if the need should arise.
He's so good. Like, God, he's so good. But I, as far as who beats him for it, that is a damn good question. Cause like, I don't know anybody on the roster as it stands right now that I can confidently just be like, yeah, they're going to take the title. They could take the title.
Mm-hmm.
Is it somebody from NXT? Maybe like a Braun Breaker, but like he's a heel. We're not going to do that. I've stopped watching NXT for the most part. I don't know what they're doing with Mello down there. Last I saw, they were potentially turning him heel. So he can't do it. So like, I don't know who it would be unless they call up Ilya Dragunov to come in and do it again.
I mean,
his kryptonite basically is Ilya.
Like Ilya just walks through the door and he's just like, son of a bitch.
He's like, God, not again.
Here, take the fucking belt.
He's like, everywhere I go, this guy follows me. I can't get rid of him.
Just take the fucking belt. Leave me alone.
I mean, it might just be that, but listen, I you gotta appreciate this Gunther run also because of the way that he's also elevating some of the opponents that he's had.
Oh yeah,
I mean, look at what he's done with Chad Gable, right? I mean, the whole Alpha Academy has gotten over a lot, and then that led to title opportunities for Gable, but he looked like a legitimate threat for a moment there against Gunther.
And he still could be the one that beats him. Who knows?
Yeah.
You
want to put Miz, you want to make him a babyface, put him against Gunther. That surely will get him to be a babyface.
And it's not only just the people that he's working that he's getting over. Like, he's helped Kaiser and Vinci get over too. Like, it's just, he's doing good. He's doing genuinely well and good for him because he's talented as fuck.
And that's the thing is like with Gunther, there was nothing to change.
No, you know, nothing at all.
It is when they slightly tried to change it at the beginning when he first got called up, but you could see Vince tweaking things that just was like, oh, what are they doing? Did they change Gunther? But then, you know, then the transition, Triple H came back. He's like, nope. We're bringing the entourage. We're doing, you know, we're gonna make it look like we did in NXT, you know. And
he's just gonna be a fucking ass kicker, and that's exactly what he's done. He has kicked all the ass.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, you know,
at this point, they're running out of ass for him to kick.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. And you know, I think that it's a very good thought to say to get him elevated because we're going to talk about it in a little bit on the babyface side. The babyfaces, you know, are, I mean, there's so many top tier babyfaces right now that, you know, it's like,
you know what? It could be
make
Jay.
Up more world titles.
It could be Jay.
I mean,
it could be instead of pushing him right to the like his first ever world title, give him a first ever singles title first. It doesn't have to be a world championship. It could just be the Intercontinental title. I like that. It's going to be Jay. It's going to be Jay.
It's going to be Jay.
All right, next time.
Like it's going to be May, but it's going to be Jay.
This is the shortest match of the night, yet my favorite match of the night. Santos Escobar defeated Dragon Lee. And the Battle of the Latinos.
That was the dumbest pay-per-view match since the Attitude Era. Like, bro, that was just like a straight-up job match. What was the point of putting that on pay-per-view? It elevated nobody but Santos. Like, I mean, he's straight up job dragging Lee out.
We're trying to rebuild Santos Escobar. He just went from being like fourth or fifth in line in the LWO. You know, we gotta
okay, but they've also been like building the fuck out of Dragon Lee just to have him lose in like 2 minutes on pay per view and get straight up fucking dominated while doing it.
I mean, he did all the flippy stuff, you know, that people like. It's with him. We don't have to do anything right away. We're good. Dragon Lee's good. Everything will be okay.
It just didn't make any sense, and it was a waste of a pay per view match to me.
No, I mean, first of all, we needed, you know, hey, listen, it was gonna be the shortest match of the night. I'm glad they didn't do that to Rhea and Zoe. So
yeah,
you know, because usually the shortest match is the women's match. This just came out there, had a quick match to, you know, to get us to, you know, we just saw two bangers of matches, and then this match came in, and the Latinos did all the flippy stuff they do, and bing, bang, boom.
So what you're saying later, is the Latinos were the pee break.
Unfortunately, but to me, it was not my pee break. I really, you know, I was into the match for all 7 minutes. It got my attention, and Danny can attest to this. I didn't fall asleep during it.
Yeah.
I was semi-watching the Georgia game at that point, so I missed that whole match.
So that's why your opinion's a little lower, because you weren't really paying attention.
Well, yeah, because he was getting his ass beat for 6 minutes. I didn't care that much.
But the 1 minute that he had of offense was great.
No, that was the entrance. No, like, I just didn't care. Had it been competitive, I would have paid more attention, because I was barely watching the Georgia game for the Ms. Gunther match or the Women's War Games, but I was just bored at that point watching him get his ass whooped. Like,
it's okay. We're getting there, all right? We're getting there. All right.
For what?
For you to be excited. All right.
I was excited before that match, and I was excited after that match. And that match just didn't excite me.
I did miss something here. I have my notes. We did. I mean, after the War Games match, we got our first return, or did it happen after this match? I can't remember. Our first return of the evening, as R-Truth is back.
Good on him. Welcome back, dude.
I mean,
dude, where's that 24/7 title at?
Yeah.
Somebody pull that shit out of the trash can. Give it back to my man.
Mm-hmm. Listen, you know, I don't know about you all, but dude's like super entertaining, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you give him a microphone and he'll just say the dumbest, silliest things, and, you know.
I love Truth.
Yeah, and him looking for Jerry Rolls on Monday night, right in front of Jerry Roll. That was so
my funny. My favorite part was when he was talking to Judgment Day, and Judgment Day was like, he's like, I heard y'all looking for a fifth. I'll do it. I'll do it. And then Priest is like, Truth, Judgment, or Survivor Series was yesterday. He's like, how we do? Did we win? He's so fucking entertaining, dude.
Such a fucking goof, yeah.
He is, but he's so good at it.
Yeah.
All right, the women's world championship match. Rhea Ripley defeating Zoe Stark is 9 minutes, 15 seconds.
I think we all saw that coming, but it was a good match. Good showing for Zoe.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, that was definitely. I mean, that's what I was, you know, Patrick and I were kind of talking about at the time, is that was there to, you know, it was a very back and forth competitive match. I mean, there wasn't really extended periods of time where one was kind of dominating the other. It kind of came down to, you know, a combination of moves allowing Rhea to hit the Riptide and get the win. So it wasn't like a complete and utter squash. It wasn't a complete dominant thing. It was there to show that Zoe can hang with, you know, with the top of the division, you know, kind of a star making type match for her. I mean, which is good. Yeah. I mean, and she definitely looked good doing it all too. I mean, she didn't look out of place. She looked like she was confident and powerful in there.
And then two nights later, she got squashed by Nia.
Well, got her fucking face sat on again. Literally squashed.
Everybody gets squashed. So, yeah, I mean, Rhea was going to win. I think there was absolutely no doubt. You know, it's eventually when she was going to win. But before that, she made sure that Zoe looked good and she belonged, because I'm sure everybody was like, why is Zoe? But hey, she's definitely something, and the future's bright for her. We move on to the main event of the evening. Of course, Judgment Day had the advantage here in War Games. Cody Rhodes wrestling in his first ever War Games, the match his dad created. Babyfaces Cody Rhodes, Seth Rollins, Jey Uso, Sami Zayn, and a returning Randy Orton defeated the Judgment Day. And Drew McIntyre. May I add Jay McDonough, officially a member of Judgment Day. He's no longer their mascot, so good for him. Team Rhodes prevails, Judgment Day fails. Of course, we saw what we got at the end. But this was another really fun match, with both teams, doing their thing. At the end of the day, the baby faces. And how stacked is the men's division in WWE now? I mean, you think about all the people who are like main event caliber wrestlers in that roster. Yep. It's like, I mean, great problem to have, but definitely a problem to have.
I don't necessarily think it's a problem. Like, you don't have to be in the title picture to be a main eventer. Like, I understand
that. Don't tell that to CM Punk.
Don't tell that to CM Punk, yeah. Man. Come on now.
I don't think CM Punk's ever thrown a fit about not having a title.
No, but the reason he claimed that one of his things was he never held them. He was never the main event of WrestleMania, despite WWE's like, it's a triple main event with him and the Undertaker. And then they offered him, a match with Triple H, and he's like, and they called, one of the main events, and he got, there's only one main event, and that's a match that goes last. And if I'm not that, then I'm not getting what I want. Yeah,
what did that have to do with being in a title picture?
Because you said the main event, and we said don't tell him.
You don't have to be in the title
in the title picture to be in the main event. And we said, well, don't tell him that. He also was a very much I wanted the title should be defended last kind of guy.
Okay.
I feel like you don't know the history of your favorite wrestler, sir.
I know it very well. Thank you very much. I think that y'all misconstrue what I'm saying, but it's whatever.
So I mean, we got Cody Rhodes, Seth Rollins, Jey Uso, who's just, man, he's the jump to babyface, huge. Sami Zayn, Randy Orton, CM Punk, Kevin Owens, AJ Styles when he returns, Gunther's getting there, LA Knight, another guy that, now people may forget just because there's so much room at the top, you could put a card with all these guys in it, and any of them could be the main event of WrestleMania. You might have to do three or four nights just to, just to make everybody happy. I mean,
all you got to do is put the Andre the Giant Battle Royal. That match gets everybody on the show, brother.
Yeah. But who wins it?
Andre the Giant does. It's his battle royal.
Andre is kind of dead.
No. Like you're thinking of that other guy.
Andre?
No, that other guy. Who's dead?
So, all right. So who's more likely to win the Rumble? CM Punk or Cody Rhodes?
I still think Eric's original story of Jey Uso doing it all. Because you can have things with Cody and, you know, and CM Punk and stuff where they don't have to win the Royal Rumble. Because then that, in theory, grants you the title shot. And I don't think they don't need that part of their story. They can have a big, compelling match that doesn't have to be that one. So it's almost like you'd be, if you put one of them against Roman for the title, you'd kind of be losing what could be two matches and making him just one.
So have we abandoned the idea of Jey versus Jimmy now?
No, that's still...
Hey, nobody want to see that?
I think Cody wins the Rumble because Punk's already on Raw. So he doesn't really need to win the Rumble.
Well, technically, as of right now, CM Punk does not belong to a brand.
CM Punk's on Raw.
I believe CM Punk, you know, especially if Rollins is playing the card of I'll never give him a title shot. No way he's getting a title shot. The only way he can get a title shot is from winning the Royal Rumble. Cody Rhodes could earn a shot, you know, at what's his name?
Completely different.
At Roman Reigns in a different, on a separate path. He doesn't have to win the Rumble again to get that same shot.
He's on a completely different brand, though.
It doesn't matter. He can go anywhere. He can do whatever he needs to do. You know, because that's, it's like, hey, you know, if Punk wins the Rumble, you know, and he's supposed to go to the shot, he can talk. If he can talk, you know, the GMs to trade for Jey Uso, I'm sure he could talk himself into a title match on a different brand. It's Cody Rhodes.
It's a lot different. His dad was Dusty Rhodes. Did you know that?
Yep. Yep. Except for those 6 years or so when he had no last name and he belonged to no one. Yeah. You don't think, sir? You're not on board.
Who's not on board with what?
Eric, not on board.
Eric was the one who said he thought Cody was winning the Rumble.
Well, I'm saying he doesn't believe that CM Punk would win the Rumble, and I thought he just said Jey. No, he didn't say. Yeah, he said Jey could win the Rumble.
I said Jey would win the Rumble. You dingus! He said Cody would. I said that was a thing that Eric had talked about a long time ago. Was that would, you know, Jey defeating Roman's the story that is there, you know? But you don't have to use another star. That when you could make a separate match, you know, for them.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely have a lot of different options. And that's a great thing about having so many people available. I mean, we could see another triple threat for the title, for either title. You know, I mean, don't we want to see Roman pin two guys again? So,
I mean. I mean, it sounds kinky when you say it that way.
I mean, he literally was laying on top of two other guys.
I know.
Yeah. And now they're in AEW.
He ran him out of town. They got beat so badly they had to go to another territory, brother.
Did we run Eric out of town?
I don't know. The last thing he said, I kind of like this when he was talking. He might have just nodded off. And if he nods off on the podcast too, then man, we'll never hear the end of it. Is he's not dropping anything in the chat lines to say, hey, I can't, whatever. All right.
Well, then that's a perfect segue into. New Japan's World Tag League.
World Tag League, brother. Woo!
Let's see. I think we're up to night 8 of the Tag League.
I think eight was, well,
this morning.
I know there was a, there was this morning and then yesterday. Okay, shit, I'm behind two shows again then.
Always there. So before we kind of look and see who's placed where, we have new members of the House of Torture.
Yeah, that was a little surprising to see. The Gates of Agony, now part of House of Torture. So aren't the Gates of Agony part of the new embassy with Brian Cage? Does that mean Prince Nana is part of? I'm sorry. Yeah, does that mean that Prince Nana is now part of House of Torture?
I don't think so, because that would make Swerve part of House of Torture.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I mean, but they're part of the embassy though, right? Aren't they? I mean, they were them and Cage, unless no, or are they by Jake, or is Jake the Snake with?
No, they switched him up, I think. Yeah, because Jake's back with Archer and. Yeah.
Was it Tully who took the Gates of Agony and Brian Cage?
Tully originally did. Then they did away with that. And then, okay.
Yeah. So they're without a manager, was what you're saying. But there is a third. So is Brian Cage then a member of House of Torture also? Because he shares a trio's title with the Gates of Agony.
That's the question mark. Is what's going to happen with those trios?
Yeah,
there's a lot of questions to be had as what's going to happen. But yeah, I mean, listen, they went to Japan and they got an offer they could not refuse.
Well, I mean, they like being mean to people, and that's kind of what House of Torture does. They're mean to people. They're assholes and they cheat and they try to hurt you and break you. And, you know, I mean, that kind of seems pretty close along their lines.
Yeah. Unfortunately, that holy union doesn't look like, you know, might help them get out of the hole they're in. Has both Evil and New Hero and the Gates of Agony are both. Last place on block A with 2 points.
Yeah, so now I think it's just they're going to join together and they're going to just try to screw everybody else up. Beat everybody up. And, oh, you think you're going to win this thing? No, because we're going to beat you and then you're not going to win it, you know? They're just going to – they're the spoilers, man. The spoilers.
No, without spoiling much, I will spoil. You know, currently we have block A, you know, TNDK – and Umino and Narita as a tie for first place in block A. Everybody else has 4 points. Block B, we have Lance Archer and Alex Zane on top with 8 points.
Monster Sauce on top is a little surprising.
And Uyuya with 6 points. Atlantis Soberano, 5 points, and everybody else 4, 3, and 2. And Suzuki and Nagata still at winless at 0 points.
I thought it was amazingly hilarious when Suzuki called Nagata Windows 95 in their post match things. He said, "Hey man, you need to update your operating system. Like you're still fighting like you were, you know." 30 years ago, he said, I'm traveling all over the world, man. I'm the cutting edge of the wrestling scene. He said, you need to update your operating system. You're still running Windows 95. Mm-hmm. Like, damn.
But yeah, Archer and Zane, definitely the biggest surprise to me. That's the only undefeated team.
Yeah.
In the tournament.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so yeah, quite a thing to see there.
I mean, I'm surprised that Bishamon's taken a few big losses like they have, you know, not just because they're Bishamon and they've won it the last 2 years, but also because they're the IWGP Tag Team Champions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, 2 losses and a draw.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Yeah. But yeah, I mean, there's still room there. People could do some things. I mean, we have another week, 2 weeks almost. Matches we got. Well, no, not necessarily. Like, we got 3 weeks, 3 matches left each. So, and then the mini tournament. So
yeah,
we so we probably have one more week of the block matches before we get the tournament. The last week, you know, the week after. So. People best sub up, but yeah, Archer and Zane, they're looking like
the monster sauce, man. The monster sauce. It's just too powerful for people.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what's in that sauce, but it's working. It's definitely working.
Yeah.
Of course, all roads lead to Wrestle Kingdom. I don't think anything else has been announced for it.
No, not since, I mean, not since last week when we talked, you know, just the already decided matches at this point, you know, the IWGP World Heavyweight, the Junior Tag Team titles, the UK-US match, and Okada and Danielson, right?
Yeah, I believe that's all we have. Let me double check here. Yeah, Shingo Tamaga, Tanahashi, Sabre Jr., Kasha Desperado. Akira TJP. Moxley versus Ospreay. Versus Finley for the new title.
Yeah, that's the
US. Okay, yeah. Not Okada, Danielson. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be looking like a great Wrestle Kingdom coming up. So, we still haven't heard from Eric, huh?
I think he fell asleep on his hand.
Yeah. That's quite a shame.
I know, right?
It's funny because, where have you been? We've been talking about you, and you haven't responded. Oh. Well, thank you for not taking us with you.
Yeah. I mean, you can take us with you. We don't mind. We're not on video. We don't see anything. And sometimes you need your bros there for moral support, okay?
Okay. AEW very shortly. They've announced Sting's last wrestling match. We know it's going to be an AEW Revolution, and it is now official. It will be on March 3rd in Greensboro, North Carolina. At the Greensboro Coliseum.
I feel like North Carolina and Greensboro is probably a place he spent a lot of time. That's a decent.
It's where he wrestled Ric Flair for the championship by Clash of Champions.
Gotcha.
So. Yeah. Hopefully Flair's not in the match.
Please, no.
But, yeah. I mean, how could it be like he says, hey, Darby, I want you to be my last match? You know?
That would be fucking awesome for Darby, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Then he can say he retires Sting. But yeah, so tickets go on sale December 15th. So for Revolution, I mean that's a match I want to see. So you know, Sting's last match.
Yeah.
It's coming. It is coming. Greensboro, North Carolina, Greensboro Coliseum, March the 3rd. TK also announcing All In will be the only AEW show in the UK. No Dynamite, no Collision, no what's the other show called? Rampage or anything like that. I'm sure they'll all be pre-taped. So, an interesting one there. But before then, they get at AEW World's End. So, that's going to be an interesting one. Samoa Joe versus MJF for the AEW World title is so far the only match announced.
And we're half far away from even?
We're a month away.
Okay.
1 month from tomorrow.
Okay. Yeah. I thought it was sooner and they had announced it. Yeah, no. So I was going to be like,
ah. Yeah. It maybe would have if it wasn't for the fact that they're also doing the championship final of the Continental Classic at the event. Yeah. So they got to get through this tournament first.
Yeah.
Also,
because then they'll set up other matches based on things that happen during the tournament, kind of. Yeah.
Probably. MJF apparently has a torn labrum. How do you say it?
Where is that in your body?
Shoulder.
Oh, okay.
So I think he, that's what he got when he did that flying cutter outside the jump from the ring to outside the ring. Pressure
from having to carry that whole fucking company on his back.
Yeah. You cannot pay him in enough pickles to do this, to keep doing this at this rate. Kid's going to wear himself out. I mean, after the pay-per-view, he got a jar of pickles. I guess he gets paid in pickles instead of hot dogs, you know? He is MJF.
His hot dogs aren't kosher.
Yeah. No.
Or at least the hot dogs they serve aren't kosher.
I mean, can't imagine any arena in the United States sells kosher.
Kosher dogs, yeah.
So, but yeah, that's what's happening with AEW. So big news for Sting. Congratulations to Alexa Bliss and Ryan Cabrera as their baby girl has arrived.
I feel like for some reason I didn't realize that she was pregnant.
I mean, the only reason she left.
That just shows you how much I pay attention to her, though, I guess.
Yeah, not to be outdone. Tay Miller and Sammy Guevara also welcomed a daughter into this world. Ospreay said he's going to continue to wrestle in New Japan after his AEW contract starts. Not surprising, especially him still be able to live in Japan. England. Perfect to be able to go back and forth, you know, go to the States, do a few tapings, go back. So, yeah. Wesley will be challenging Dominic Mysterio for the North American title at NXT Deadline. That's something else has come up. QT Marshall has resigned from AEW.
Okay.
I didn't realize this, but he was in charge of talent relations, I think.
Yeah, I mean, he'd been there since the beginning. He was doing, he was helping do the video production, all that stuff, very, very early on.
And then he was helping, you know, essentially kind of train people to give them spots and all this kind of stuff. So do you think he just kind of focuses on his school, or do you think he looks to go wrestle somewhere else?
He's going to try to follow Cody.
Oh, yeah. Let Cody get him a job.
Yeah. I mean, according to QT Marshall, AEW is now going in a different direction, so not where he wants to be. Maybe it's not fun for him.
That direction is without his BFF, Cody.
Yeah. So he chooses that. So, you know, I mean, but yeah, he could continue to focus on his school. CM Punk, who knew? Who knew he'd be back in WWE?
I did.
Yeah.
I've been saying it for years.
It's like, you know, Danny likes to remind us anything can happen in the World Wrestling Federation. So my goodness, what a world we to live in, and the world where CM Punk continues to be the talk. So hey, you know, he's polarizing, people talk about it. I mean, look, I was going through websites, you know, that, you know, covering CM Punk, and it wasn't just your wrestling websites, ESPN, Forbes, the New York Post. I mean, everybody's talking about CM Punk returning to WWE.
CM Punk is motherfucking money.
He's back. The t-shirt's on sale right now. Well, it's not on sale. It's for sale, not on sale. Who will be his first opponent? When will be his first match? So much to still look forward to. These are the reasons why we love pro wrestling. Just, you know, these moments never stop, and I hope they never stop. But whether you like WWE, AEW, TNA, New Japan Pro Wrestling, or any independent promotion, you know, It's all sports entertainment. It's all pro wrestling. It's all the thing that we all love and have in common. Enjoy it. Don't take it so seriously. You know, let it be an escape. Live with the moments. And so I think with that, it's the perfect way to close the show. Thanks again for listening. Subscribe, iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, Spotify, Amazon Music, wherever you hear podcasts. Check us out on the X at FOW Radio. Danny's on X at Danny F and Danger. Eric's on X at EJ423X. Mika's on X at Mika Villas. I'm on X at ELMNPA. And until next time, keep watching wrestling.
Yeah.